Good morning, friends. Welcome to morning worship. We open our worship by singing to God's praise, hymn 113, God the Father of Creation. Blessed be the name of the Lord, now and evermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the Lord's name be praised. Let us pray. O Lord our God, we cannot measure your might and power. We cannot fathom the depth of your wisdom. We cannot reckon the depth of your love. You have created us and made us so that we cannot be satisfied with anything less than the life which you alone can give. We pray you to take us as we are and raise us to that level of life through Jesus Christ, our Lord. Lord, you made it possible for us to know you and love you and serve you, but there is that in us which militates against our knowledge and love and service. We look at our life and we see many ways in which we fail you. We fail to measure up even to the moderate standards which we set ourselves. We bring our life to you, Lord, and ask you to forgive. Your Son gave us a new commandment that we should love one another even as you love us, unworthy and wandering though we are. Help us to leave behind all that is unworthy, and guide us day by day to accept and follow your will. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Hymn number 264, Judge Eternal, Throned in Splendor, 264. We read God's word in the Old Testament, the book of Genesis, chapter 45, at verse 1. Genesis, chapter 45, at verse 1. Then Joseph could no longer control himself before all his attendants, and he cried out, "Make everyone leave my presence." So there was no one with Joseph when he made himself known to his brothers. And he wept so loudly that the Egyptians heard him, and Pharaoh's household heard about it. Joseph said to his brothers, "I am Joseph. Is my father still living?" But his brothers were not able to answer him because they were terrified at his presence. Then Joseph said to his brothers, "Come close to me." When they had done so, he said, "I am your brother Joseph, the one you sold into Egypt. And now do not be distressed, and do not be angry with yourselves for selling me here, because it was to save lives that God sent me ahead of you. For 2 years now there has been famine in the land, and for the next 5 years there will not be ploughing and reaping. But God sent me ahead of you to preserve for you a remnant on earth, and to save your lives by a great deliverance. So then it was not you who sent me here, but God. He made me father to Pharaoh, lord of his entire household, and ruler of all Egypt. Now hurry back to my father and say to him, 'This is what your son Joseph says. God has made me lord of all Egypt. Come down to me, don't delay. You shall live in the region of Goshen and be near me, you, your children and grandchildren, your flocks and herds and all you have. I will provide for you there, because 5 years of famine are still to come. Otherwise, you and your household and all who belong to you will become destitute.'" And in the New Testament, John's Gospel, chapter 2, at verse 12. John, chapter 2, at verse 12. After this, Jesus went down to Capernaum, with his mother and his brothers and his disciples. There they stayed for a few days. When it was almost time for the Jewish Passover, Jesus went up to Jerusalem. In the temple courts, he found men selling cattle, sheep, and doves, and others sitting at tables exchanging money. So he made a whip out of cords and drove all from the temple area, both sheep and cattle. He scattered the coins of the money changers and overturned their tables. To those who sold doves, he said, "Get those out of here. How dare you turn my father's house into a market?" His disciples remembered that it is written, "Zeal for your house will consume me." Then the Jews demanded of him, "What miraculous sign can you show us to prove your authority to do all this?" Jesus answered them, "Destroy this temple, and I will raise it again in 3 days." The Jews replied, "It has taken 46 years to build this temple, and you are going to raise it in 3 days." But the temple he had spoken of was his body. After he was raised from the dead, his disciples recalled what he had said. Then they believed the scripture and the words that Jesus had spoken. Now, while he was in Jerusalem at the Passover feast, many people saw the miraculous signs he was doing and believed in his name. But Jesus would not entrust himself to them, for he knew all men. He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man. And the Lord bless to us the reading of his holy word, and to his name be the glory and the praise. Hymn number 512, "To God Be the Glory," 512.
Thank you.
John's Gospel, chapter 2, and verse 25, he did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man. I suppose there are many people like me who are besieged nowadays by confidence tricksters of one kind or another. No doubt there are some of you here who know the experience only too well. Tricksters who come on the phone or through the post or on the computer too, maybe. They tell us that we've won a big money prize or some other form of prize. All we have to do to obtain the prize is to send back the form they've sent us or click on such and such a website and send a nominal fee for processing, and then they'll send us the prize. Maybe we get used to them. We get wise to them. We know their tricks and their procedures so well that we're always ready for them. So we maybe even send back their form saying, never mind the postage and packing or the processing fee, just deduct all that from the cheque you're promising to send me. Or we say to them on the phone, you are not who you say you are. You're a confidence trickster and you're out to defraud me. Yes, you are. You talk like a confidence trickster. You begin by asking how I'm keeping, keep on addressing me by my name, reassuring me of the inestimable help you're offering to give me. I'm very used to confidence tricksters. I get contacted by so many of them. I can recognize them a mile away, and you're certainly one of them. Maybe we get so used to them that we've begun to respond to them in that kind of way, because we know what they're like. We don't need to hear or read their credentials. We know the kind of people they are, and we know what their purpose is, and we want nothing to do with it. He did not need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man. Jesus, even at an early stage in the course of his public ministry, knew what people were like. John, the Gospel writer, is here answering a question which may well have arisen in the mind of people, particularly in the mind of his readers. The question concerns the way Jesus went about his task. John doesn't detail the miraculous signs which Jesus performed in Jerusalem at the time of the Passover, the first Passover he attended after beginning his public ministry. He says there were such miraculous signs, but he doesn't describe any of them. But he says that as a result of those signs, those miracles, people were crowding to Jesus and joining his movement in large numbers. John says Jesus would not entrust himself to them. That's tantamount to saying he did not there and then set up his standard and openly declare himself. He did not take the opportunity which presented itself to him at that stage, the opportunity to take the tide of popularity at the flood and sail along on this wave of popular support. Jesus knew what people were like. He knew where riding on the wave of shallow popularity would inevitably lead. Another episode, which John does not include in his Gospel, is the experience of Jesus related by both Matthew and Luke, where Jesus went into the wilderness and was tempted by the devil. Right at the outset of his ministry, that was, before he began to appear on the public scene, he went to be alone with God, to sort the whole thing out, to think out his plan of campaign, to get rid of the thoughts of wrong ways of going about it. John doesn't mention that episode, but we can see that episode having its effect on Jesus now, at this stage that John is describing. There was the possibility of gaining such popularity that his movement would be guaranteed immediate success. All the kingdoms of the world were to be his, at a price of bowing down and worshipping the devil. Getting across to the people on the strength of this shallow popularity, Jesus knew human nature only too well. He knew that in the crowds who followed him at this early stage, There were many who would eventually see him as a flash in the pan, a 9 days wonder. Attracted they were by the sensational things he did, but with no conception of the deep meaning of the way that Jesus had chosen to follow, the way of obedience to God and service to God through thick and thin. Jesus knew that his crowd of immediate followers included many who would have followed him eagerly as long as he produced those miracles of healing and other miracles for which he had already become known. But he knew also that those same people would have reacted in a different way if he had begun to speak to them about service, self-denial, self-surrender to God's will. If he had begun to talk to them about a cross and carrying a cross and dying on a cross, they would have been thunderstruck, appalled, affronted, disillusioned, and they would have run a mile rather than associate with him. He knew all men. He didn't need man's testimony about man, for he knew what was in a man. We'll learn from some of the other Gospels that when Jesus was choosing his original 12 disciples, he first of all called some who were fishermen. And he said to them, "Come with me, and I'll make you fishers of men." In other words, he wanted to bring people into his fellowship. He wanted the Christian church to grow numerically as in other ways, but not just by going out and bringing in any and all. He wanted to be sure that those who joined his fellowship and gave themselves to his service knew what they were doing, knew what they were letting themselves in for. At another point, we hear him saying to those who promised to follow him, "Foxes have holes to go home to, birds have nests to rest in, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." In other words, if you come with me, you will get life hard. Don't be under any illusions. Don't be under any false impressions. The mob in Jerusalem would gladly have declared him there and then to be the Messiah. And then they would have expected him to become the kind of Messiah they had in mind, a military leader, a warlike hero, restoring the Israelite nation to its former glory. And that was not at all what Jesus had come to do. That was not the kind of Messiah he was. So he didn't latch on to the popularity of a moment at the beginning of his ministry. He knew what people were like. He also knew what he wanted his men to be like. He knew the qualities he was looking for in those who would become his closest followers, the ones to whom he would be committing the monumental task of winning over the whole world for God. Wealth and high social standing didn't come into it at all. Education and academic prowess had its place, but it was not the place of first importance. Jesus was looking for loyalty and self-surrender. And is it not the same today? It's still true that the Lord Jesus Christ is busy with the task of bringing the whole world to God. It's still true that he's seeking those who will be his true followers, not people who'll jump on a bandwagon and then desert the cause when the way gets tough. Jesus chose his first disciples with care. He knew what was in men, and he knew the kind of men he was looking for. When he had chosen them, he kept them in his company and he taught them. He taught them not only by the words he said to them. There were words he said, yes, and they did learn from those words. But he taught them even more effectively by who he was, the person he was, the experience of being with him, seeing how he dealt with the situations they met as they went about. All of this helped them to know him and to learn from him. The disciples were unschooled, unprepared, unready to meet with much of what they were going to have to contend with in the world into which their master was sending them, but they had come to know him, and that was all important. They had his continuing presence and help, so that they could meet each challenge as it came and rise to it and overcome. And for you and me, the story is the same. We learn from our Master, from his words, from his person, from our daily walk with him. We don't know what the future holds. We don't know what form the challenges will take, which we'll undoubtedly have to meet. But we do know that the Lord is the one for us. The Christian way is for you and me the only way forward. Anything less is bound to be unsatisfying and to lead to failure. Jesus knew what was in people. He knew what was in the mind of those would-be followers who crowded round him at the beginning. He knew what was in the ones he chose to be his first disciples. And he knows what is in you and me. Not only so, but he can bring out the best in us. None of his original disciples would have thought they could do the things they eventually did in his name. But he had promised them that he would be with them through it all. And that gave them the strength, the ability, the courage, the perseverance. And so we continue to go along with him, making our mistakes, stumbling and falling now and then, but rising again and going on in his strength and with his guidance and his continual encouragement. With him, as Paul says, we are more than conquerors. And now to God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be all honour and glory, now and evermore. Amen. We worship God in presenting our offering. Number 247, Moved by the Gospel, 247. Let us pray. O Lord our God, as you give liberally and bountifully, teach us to give cheerfully of our substance for your cause and your kingdom. Bless our offerings and grant us to know the joy of those who give with their whole heart. Lord, we give you thanks. You have created us in your own image. You have given us souls to know and love you. You have supplied our needs and do constantly supply them in all our journey through life. Goodness and mercy follow us all our days, and our cup runs over. There have been difficult times in our life, O God, times when it was difficult for us to go on believing and trusting in you, our God, and you have helped us through. There have been times when we were difficult, following the desires of our own hearts, and you have sought us out and won us back to yourself and raised us and given us again the dignity of men and women. Most of all, we thank you for the saving of the world in Jesus Christ, our Lord. We thank you for his life, his teaching, his suffering, his death, his resurrection, his ascension to your right hand, his coming with power, and his continued presence with us. Help us always to be faithful followers of Jesus Christ. Lord, you make the sun to rise and the rain to fall on all human life. We pray for the people of your world, that they may receive your good grace, that the evil purposes of people may be turned to good, that selfishness may give place to unselfishness, that waywardness may give place to obedience. We pray for the church, Lord, the church in every land. Bless and prosper the work of your servants who have gone forth in faith to sow the seed of your word. May they reap in joy, and may there always be sufficient laborers in your harvest field. Bless the Queen and those in authority and those who give themselves to the public service. Help us as a nation to honor you with our work and our community life. We pray for those who work in the service of their fellow human beings and for those who are ill, that they may know the touch of your healing hand. For those who are in any kind of trouble or difficulty, that they may have the faith and the perseverance to trust you for the way through. We thank you, Lord, that we are united with your servants of all ages in the fellowship of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we pray that we may be true to his example and the good examples which others have set us, that we in our turn may set a good example, and that we all may be gathered into your heavenly kingdom through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with the Father and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end. Amen. Our closing praise is number 533, Will You Come and Follow Me? 533. Thank you. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always.